I'm Ryan Dobson, and thanks for tuning in to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. The program coming up isn't just any interview. It's one of the best of the last year. So don't go anywhere, or you'll miss a message so good we just had to air it again. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today we're going to be continuing a conversation about Christian men and women who find themselves married to a spouse who is an unbeliever. And for those of you who aren't in this situation, don't tune out just yet. There are a growing number of men and women sitting in church without their spouse by their side. And really, it's a valuable lesson for each and every one of us to know how to minister to them. Sitting alone in a pew is a heart-wrenching place to be. And our guests today certainly know that feeling. Lynn Donovan and Deneen Miller are two women whose husbands, each of more than 20 years, do not share their Christian faith. And together they've written a book about the topic titled Winning Him Without Words. And to help women in similar situations, these ladies have founded Mismatched and Thriving Ministries. And they did that in 2006. So, Dad, let's pick up where we left off.
Well, Lynn and Deneen, it's good to have you back. Yesterday's program was a quiet discussion about a very, very important marital issue having to do with being unequally yoked and making the most of it the way Scripture tells us to do. But you're writing at this time another book, and I want you to come back and talk to us about that when you get it published. But let's preview it. Okay.
Excellent.
And the title of it is Not Alone, Trusting God to Help You Raise Godly Kids in a Spiritually Mismatched Home. Mm-hmm. Now, of all the issues that bring conflict, almost unresolvable conflict between a husband and wife who are unequally yoked, this is the biggie. Because you both are passionate about those children, you should be, and nearly always are. And the wife, who is most likely to be the one who's made a spiritual commitment, that's not always true, but it frequently is, cares more about those children than life itself. And telling them who God is and who Jesus is and how he created the universe and where to send them to school and a Christian worldview and more than that, telling them, who am I? You know, who am I? You can't answer that question without referring to the Creator himself, at least if you come from our Christian worldview. So let's talk about how to work through those decisions that you have to make about children. Are you going to take them to Sunday school? And what are you going to tell them when they get there? And how are you going to answer the questions that they ask you? And what about life after death? And what is sin? And what does God expect of me? And is he paying attention? Is he keeping score? And on the other side of the ledger, you've got a spouse, probably a husband, who is saying, I don't believe all that stuff, and I'm going to sleep in on Sunday morning, and I'm not going to get up and go to church. Those are really potentially disastrous issues. How, Lynn, did you get past them?
Everything you described right there, I have lived personally. You struggle with, how am I going to impart, you know, God's love into my child? I think one of my biggest fears came when it was time to put my daughter into school. And up until that point, I had had her in preschool, and my husband was fine with my decisions about where I placed her in school. And so I was just going right along thinking, I'm going to enroll her into a private Christian school. And one morning at the kitchen table, I mentioned that to my husband. And I tell you what, I was met with hostility and like, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. You're not going to put my daughter into Christian school. She's going to go to public school. And that day, I will never forget. That was when fear hit me, where a reality check was that, wait a minute, could my husband's unbelief impact my daughter to the point where she does not go to heaven? Mm-hmm. And so I really started to grapple with that. Every mother or father who believes in Christ deals with this. It's next to our husband's salvation, it's our kids.
Did you go to your knees?
I prayed like you could not believe. And in this particular case, you know, I decided to respect my husband. We were new in our, you know, marriage. My daughter was only 5 years old. And I believed God that if I prayed and loved her and I was a living example, that even if she went to public school, he would not let go of her. He would guide her through that. And God has proven to be faithful all these years. My daughter is now 18. She just graduated from a large public high school. And she is a believer in Jesus. She loves Jesus. And it's time for her to go to college. And what is so great is to see God's faithfulness for my years of praying for her salvation and praying through these difficult challenges. It's her turn to pick where she's going to go to college. And I'm so thankful to God that she's chosen to go to a Christian college. What I would say to encourage mothers is that your faithful prayers matter. And it's a long-term thing. You can be a living example to your children and do it in a very respectful way, even if dad doesn't believe. One of the things I think that we did that worked really well is what I call my prayer mobile. And it kind of happened accidentally, but I would drive my daughter to middle school. I remember it started in middle school. Middle school is kind of tough for kids. You know how that goes.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah, and I could see the anxiety rising on her face as we start the drive. And I just started, I reached over, put my hand on her knee. And as I'm driving, just out loud, I would pray. And I would pray something like, you know, Father, help Katie to have a really good day today. Help her to do well on her science test. When she feels fearful, have her remind her that you're there and that she should pray to you. Give her something to laugh about today, Papa, in the name of Jesus. And she would echo and I'd say, amen. She would say, amen. And I modeled everyday conversation with God to her in a very non-threatening way. It didn't threaten Dad, but it was teaching her how to have an everyday conversation in all kinds of circumstances.
You didn't object to your taking your little girl to church.
I did not get that objection. But there are people who do. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, Dr. Dobson, this is the hill I would die on.
Yeah.
Church on Sunday morning is one I would go into conflict knowing Jesus is standing at my side because we are made for community. They need to have that exposure to other adult men and women and other kids. Youth group maybe is negotiable and that kind of thing, but on Sunday morning, I want my children to go with me to church, and my daughter did. Fortunately for me, my husband didn't object to that. He didn't want to go. As long as he didn't have to go, that was okay. And that's a whole nother issue because that's hard for us wives when dad doesn't go. But I would encourage moms to have very pointed conversation about this one thing. Your kids need to be exposed to what God's community is about. And so I was able to take her to church. And I will tell you, though, that Deneen and I, we pray like crazy. You pray all of your life for your kids. You know, and if you're not praying for your kids by name every day, who is?
Yeah, that's right. I have some questions about that. But Deneen, I want to hear your part of that story as well. When you had kids and you want to go to church and teach them these things, what was it like for you in your marriage?
When that issue came up and it became very clear that I was going to be going the faith route, my husband wasn't. We talked about the kids. We came to an agreement, and that was that I could take my girls to church, and as long as when they came of age and they were ready to make their own choice, they would be allowed to make their own choice. And I agreed because I know my God.
Did your husband undermine what you were saying? Did he come to them and say, listen, this is nonsense?
No. Yeah. Because there has to be that spouse, that couple out there who the schools are teaching evolution all through. The husband believes this. He thinks what you believe is a fairy tale.
Right.
And I'm thinking a lot of parents would think, well, you know, 12, 13, 14, they can decide if they want to go to church or not.
Right.
That also happens to coincide with puberty. A lot of rebellion goes on there. And you could have kids that say, listen, I don't want to get up anymore. I don't want to go to that place. Dad doesn't have to. He doesn't believe this. I'm not going to believe it. My school doesn't believe it.
Right.
That's a scary situation.
That's why as moms, it's so crucial that we pray because our prayers are so powerful. I think we fall into this place of thinking that we're up against a wall and we don't have any power. Far from it. God's faithfulness is so amazing. And if I could say one thing to encourage moms out there, your prayers are heard. My daughter just married her husband in May, and he is a wonderful young man of faith. God's faithfulness is astounding. He heard my prayers, and he hears them still. And for my girls, even as adults, they're on their own journeys of faith now.
Lynn, you said something really critical to what Deneen is saying, too. You used a phrase, that's a hill to die on. And people are going to get different opinions on what you do when you're in conflict with your husband, speaking of the wife's relationship with her husband. And some Christian leaders will tell you, and this is their interpretation, and I understand it, but I disagree with it, that your obligation in all cases is to submit to that issue and to your husband. On most things, yes. But on the matter of the faith of your children, you cannot do it. If he is saying you will not go to church, you will not take these children into that environment, and I forbid it, that is a hill to die on.
My experience with our ministry is in those cases, and we get a lot of emails from women like that, the husband's reacting is usually out of fear, and that's what's sparking the anger. So sometimes it's that, and they can talk it out, they can work it out, and find ground that they can agree upon. And as Lynn said, it is an important place that we have to stay firm on. The other side of it is there's a control issue. It's a marriage that is being defined not by love, but by control. And that's a marriage that's in trouble and needs counseling.
Yes.
When there's that firm a stance taken where the husband forbids, it's not a good situation because it's not just control limited to the children. Oftentimes we find that that control is exerted over the entire marriage.
That's in every well area. Said. And everything depends on manner. If you, you know, clench your teeth and you make a fist out of your hand and you're saying, you're not going to do this to me or to our children, you set up a battle where somebody's going to lose, and it very well may be you.
Right.
It is better to say, I am asking you to understand that we've touched here on something that means more to me than life itself. That's not a phrase. That is a truth. It means more than life because, in my view, even though you don't agree with it, we're talking about all of eternity.
Right.
So tell me how we can work our way through this. Tell me what I can do that will make you feel that I've met you in the middle, but don't ask me to compromise on this.
You know, with every marriage, there's boundaries. And Doctor, the way you said that about how you would approach your spouse and talk about how important it is exactly, that's what I mean about dying on that hill.
Yeah.
It is that important to me that I would go with my love and my heart and say, this is this important to me. And you have to have those boundaries and respect for one another. And that's exactly what happened in our marriage. This is so important to me. And as Deneen said, you know, her husband wanted their kids to have a choice. And so we have to respect each other and learn to have these boundaries where we allow our kids to, they can talk to dad about faith, but they still can go to church with mom. And I think that's tricky to figure that out. But
you know what, Lynn? You did it. You did what I'm talking about. You compromised in regard to public schools.
I did.
And I assume it was because you knew that school and you knew that there are good people there and you got on your knees and prayed about it every day. But you compromised with your husband. And where you can do that, do it. Where
right.
you can compromise. But when it really comes down to what your child is going to believe and your opportunity to teach the Christian way of life, you can't compromise on that. At least that's my view.
That is my view, too.
My grandmother was sort of in that situation, my dad's mother, because she had six kids. And my grandfather didn't want anything to do with Christianity. He saw hypocrisy in the church, and he didn't want anything to do with it. But he, to his credit, said, "You can do it. I support you in it." And she would get six kids ready for church and get on a streetcar in those days and go across town to their church because she knew it was that important. I've shared this before. I apologize to those who've heard me say it. But she would gather those six kids around her in prayer in the morning, read the scripture, and then say, and this is what I believe, if I lose one of you to Jesus Christ, and you die not knowing him, it would have been better that I had never been born. That's
powerful.
The way she felt about it.
Yeah.
And my grandfather saw that and acceded to it, and he found the Lord 2 weeks before he died. She prayed for him and fasted for him for 40 years. I don't want to discourage you guys, but it can happen 40 years down the road, and he died with a testimony on his lips.
Mm-hmm. And that's so encouraging, actually. And for every mother that's listening, we want to encourage her, because you're going to have these conflicts, and you're going to get up one Sunday morning and go, "I don't want to get all the kids dressed and take them there all by myself." We're telling you, please do every effort that you pour into sharing your faith, bringing your kids to church, loving on them, showing them Jesus. It pays off. It's just a long, long road.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Deneen, do you ever feel like you had to be perfect?
Oh, my gosh.
That when you fight, if you say the unkind word, then it's your fault. Your husband's not coming to the
Lord.
You're
not living what you profess.
I think you just crawled into my brain. I used to think that. I used to put so much pressure and expectation on myself that I had to do it right, that I had to have it perfect, that I had to be a theologian and knew every aspect of the Bible. And the amazing thing is that some of the moments that have spoken to my husband's heart have come from my mistakes, because we're not perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to do things wrong. But it's how we handle them mm-hmm. that can have such profound effect. And there are opportunities even in that place where we can exhibit the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ.
That's,
and what does that look like?
That's the title of your book, Winning Him Without
exactly.
Words. That's what you're
exactly.
talking about.
Exactly. So we don't have to be perfect. I say it again, and as you said before, it's a story I've told over and over again. If some of our listeners have heard it and they're tired of hearing it, that scripture where Christ feeds the multitude, and all they present him with is two fish and five loaves. But what does he do with it? He multiplies it, and he feeds everybody there. That's what we do. We bring our loaves and our fish. We bring Christ what we have. And he takes it and he multiplies it in ways we don't even realize, that just blesses our family. Our love for him just flows through us onto our husband, onto mm-hmm. our children, and mm-hmm. people around us. We have such an opportunity to affect not just the people around us, but future generations. Dr. Dobson, I love your story of your grandmother. If she had not been faithful, would you be here today? Would your ministry and all that you have done through your life have come out of that?
I hate to say this, because my mom and dad were great parents, and my dad was a minister, and they taught me about the Lord all the time. But my grandmother and my great-grandmother had the greatest spiritual impact on me, because they talked about Jesus all the time.
We affect the generations. As mothers, as grandmothers, we feed into the generations.
Lynn, you have both hands in the air as though you just got a touchdown.
It is so encouraging as a mom to know that a grandmother's faith and a mother's faith, and really truly how profound it is, that it flows through the generations.
Yeah.
And a legacy that we leave with our children, and they're going to pass it on. And one day I'm going to be in heaven. I can't wait to hug your grandmother.
She was a godly woman. We called her Little Mother. And she weighed 97 pounds. Hey, we're out of time, but you have to. I think we have time for you to answer this question. You are all alone, in a sense, when your heart is tender to the Lord and your husband does not share that. Did you look to women friends who could pray with you, who understood what you're going through and could hold you up and pray for your husbands? Did you look for that and did you find it?
Yes, I did. We need community. We are built for community. And, you know, even our online ministry now, there's an amazing community there. We need each other. When one's struggling, we help, we lift them up, we pray for them, we hold them in our prayers
and
our heart.
Pray for each other.
We do, with passion, and we pray for families and for spouses. That's another reason to be plugged into your church, because you need a study where you can have women come around you and hold you up when you need to, or you can hold them up. We need that community, and it's a beautiful thing.
That's the antidote to loneliness.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've both been married for over 20 years. Do you ever have the question of how long will it be? When will this finally happen? Does it ever get discouraging?
It can at times. I remember there was, for a brief period, my family and I, we lived in Europe, and the church I was at had a group for people. They called it 1 Peter 3. Mm-hmm. It was for women who were mismatched. One night, our leader, she brought in several women to talk to us whose husbands had come to faith. And I remember listening to this one woman talk about her marriage. And at that point, I'd been mismatched probably, I'd say, maybe 5-6 years, somewhere in there. And she was talking, and she said it took her husband 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there thinking in my mind, oh, no, that is not going to be me. Yet here I sit. You know,
20 years.
And it's been, of our marriage of almost 26 years, 17 of them have been mismatched. And I don't see a major shift, but I trust God. I trust that He's got this completely under control. In His timing, it will happen. He will do it the way He wants to do it, because above all else, when that day comes, I want my husband to be all sold out for Jesus. I want him to be this amazing person of God, because he's a pretty cool guy. Mm-hmm. I really love this guy, and he would make an awesome believer. And I want him to step mm-hmm. into that completely, just, you know, not half-hearted. I want him to embrace Christ completely.
For our listeners who are out there, and also for the two of you, I want to tell you how I see this whole process of winning your husbands to Christ. It's like a field that's been planted. You're putting seeds into the ground. And you may not know it, but there are little green shoots out there. And if you go try to harvest them early, you'll destroy them.
Right. Exactly.
You can't do it. You have to let them grow. You'll have to let them come to fruition. And then the harvest time comes, and the Lord will not force your husbands to be a believer. I don't believe that he does, but he'll do everything to make him believe. He'll do everything to give him the opportunity to choose, and that's all you can do, mm-hmm. and that's enough.
That is enough. Our faith and our trust and living in his presence helps us to walk it every day.
Hmm. I have enjoyed talking to you all.
Yeah.
This has been very,
a blast.
Very special. Mm-hmm. To me, let me name the books again. Winning Him Without Words is the book that's out now. And I really can say that our listeners, especially those who are experiencing this kind of marriage, the unequally yoked relationship, will enjoy this book. There's a new one coming about children and about what we've been talking about today, mm-hmm. called Not Alone, Trusting God to Help You Raise Godly Kids in a Spiritually Mismatched Home, by Lynn Donovan and Deneen Miller. And it's been great getting acquainted with you all. When you get that book done,
thank you.
Come
thank
back
you.
And
We'd
see
love
us
to.
Again.
We had a blast. Thank you so
thank
much,
you so
Doctor.
Much. This
thank
was
you've
wonderful.
Been listening to me for
a long
time, haven't you?
Your radio programs were a lifeline to me, especially in the early years of my mismatched marriage. Thank you so much.
God's blessings to you both.
Thank you.
Oh, I am just so impressed by Lynn and Deneen. They are so driven by love for their husbands and their love for the Lord. And I know some of you listening wake up every morning beside a spouse who doesn't share your faith. And others may not be unequally yoked, but pull the weight of another lifelong struggle. Maybe chronic illness or strong-willed kids or an unsatisfying job. Whatever your burden is, we really do want to be there for you. And if you need encouragement or prayer, contact us. You can call us 877-732-6825 for someone to pray with you right now. You can email us at drjamesdobson.org. And we also have a lot of resources on marriage on our website, including information on how to get a copy of Winning Him Without Words, Lynn and Deneen's book. And you can also find a link to Mismatched and Thriving Ministries, which Lynn and Deneen created to help women who are unequally yoked. And while you're online, would you consider becoming a donor to Family Talk? You can be confident that your gift will be put to good use because it will go towards the fight for the family in America. You can donate online at our website, drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk smartphone app, on Facebook, or again by calling us 877-732-6825. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Lynn and Deneen. Tune in next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.